The scripture reading this evening is taken from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, it's the verses 1 through 10. And the text is verse 10, Ephesians 2:10. And the topic is, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Listen to the word of God, Ephesians 2. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So far the reading of the Word of God. This beautiful passage of Scripture is summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32, which you have on your bulletin. But why are you called a Christian? Because through faith I share in Christ and thus in his anointing, so that I may confess his name, offer myself a living sacrifice of gratitude to him, and fight against sin and the devil with a free and good conscience throughout this life, and hereafter rule with him in eternity over all creatures. That's the teaching of the Word of God, and that's the confession of the church. Before we open this, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this wonderful question, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? Father, we pray that we may come to a fuller understanding of what that beautiful name means. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, brothers and sisters, the name Christian is a very beautiful, beautiful name. It is a common name, and it is used to describe an awful lot of things. We hear of a Christian country, hear of a Christian institution, hear of Christian people. In universities and colleges, they have to give an indication of what is their religious preference. And there's various choices: Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu. And if a person is not a Muslim, not a Hindu, not Jewish, they would fall into the category of Christian. But there is a new category now, and that is the category called none. None of the above. And that category is becoming larger. There are more and more, shall we say, millennials, that is, young people, who do not want to identify themselves with any religion. And so they check the word none. I'm none. And that's a sad story. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? The word Christian was first used in the book of Acts as kind of a slur. It was first used in the town of Antioch, and it was kind of a word which put down people. It kind of looked down on them because they were Christians. And you read in the Bible that the followers of Christ were first called Christians there in Antioch. And it was not a compliment. It was kind of a put-down word. But you and I know that the word Christian comes from the name Christ. Christ is the basic word within the word Christian. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you and I believe, that a person who follows Jesus Christ is called a Christian. That's their identity. That's their badge of honor, a Christian. So let's look at that. Ephesians 2 verse 10 said, well, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 are the words, verses that precede this. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. That beautiful verse, that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared ahead of time that we should do, that is a beautiful definition of what a Christian is. So let's look at that verse. It tells us two things. First of all, it tells us what God does. It's God's work. But it also tells us what our work is. So let's look at those two things. First of all, what is God's work? We are His workmanship. Now the word workmanship is a beautiful word. I love the word workmanship. You know some people perhaps who are very handy in making things out of wood. They can make amazing things, make beautiful things. There's one man that I know who has a great gift of making furniture. And all the furniture in his house and in the house of his children was made by him. That's his workmanship. Now, you know, the Greek word for workmanship is a very interesting word too. And it's a word from which we get a very common English word. The English word is poem. And the Greek word is poiema, which is actually the same word as poem. It is that which is made, that which is made. We are God's workmanship. We are the product of God's work. God is the one who made us, not only in the beginning, and then man fell, but God remakes us. He makes us again. He recreates us. Paul says that, you know, he says, you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. That's who we were by nature. Man is a rebel against God. And then Paul says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You see, we were made by Christ. We were remade. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ. That's what a Christian is. A Christian who has been made alive from being dead. Now, you want to see a person who was dead in sin and still alive physically? The Apostle Paul. When he was active as a Pharisee, what he tried to do, he tried to kill every Christian he could. Tried to put them in prison. His life was just totally against God. He thought he was doing God's will, but actually he was an enemy of God. He was dead in sins and trespasses. But God made him alive. Jesus changed his life, as he does with everyone who becomes a Christian. It's the Lord that changes our life. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ unto good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. And do you know when that whole process started? It started in eternity. Paul mentions that in this same book in chapter 1, verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having predestined us unto adoption as children through Jesus Christ our Lord. That workmanship started long, long ago. He chose us in Christ. And he made us a new creature. By his grace we're saved. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now how does that happen? How does it happen? Well, we read in the Bible that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Paul uses that beautiful whole picture. He says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on the one they haven't heard of? And how shall they hear of someone who that doesn't preach and doesn't tell them? As it says in the book of Isaiah, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. So we hear the gospel, and the word of God is seed. It is seed. Like in the parable of the sower, Jesus told many stories. One of them was the parable of the sower. A farmer went sowing seed. Some seed fell on a pathway. It was hard soil, and the seed just bounced, and it came to nothing, and birds came to eat that seed. So that seed didn't achieve anything. Some seed fell on shallow ground. And that seed began to grow, but there was no depth. And when troubles came, it withered and died. Some seed fell on cluttered ground, where there were thorns and thistles also. And that seed began to grow, but it was quenched by the other weeds and thistles around it and came to nothing. But some seed fell on the good soil. Some seed fell on soil that was plowed and that was fertile. And with rain and sunshine, that seed began to grow. Now, you've all experienced this. You all have seen how seed grows. Do you know that there's life in seed? There's life in that seed. Whether it's a tulip bulb or whether it is the seed of an onion or the seed of a watermelon or the seed of beans or tomatoes, doesn't matter. That seed has life in it. It's amazing. There are pyramids in Egypt which were built for pharaohs who had died. And their people put seed in those pyramids so that the deceased could have something to eat in the next world. Well, we don't believe that is so, but the seed was still there. And the pyramids were plundered, and that seed was planted, and it began to grow. It doesn't matter how old that seed is. It still has life in it. Now, the Bible is called seed. Jesus said, the seed is the Word of God. And some people are like pathway, are like hardened soil. And the seed comes, they hear it with their ears, but it goes in one ear and out the other. It makes no difference. And Jesus said, birds come and eat it. And then he explained that, and he said, the birds are like Satan, who comes and takes away the seed that was planted there in their heart, but it never came to anything. And some on shallow ground, some on cluttered ground, but the good ground was the seed, where the seed was planted. It began to take root, and it bore fruit. Now that's how we become a Christian. We come through the Word of God. As Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And Peter says, you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the living Word of God, which you heard preached to you. This is how God builds His church. This is how He brings people from darkness into light through the proclamation of the Word. That's why preaching is so important. That's why the spread of the Word is so important. That's why Gideons bring that Word all over, in hotels and motels and in hospitals and jails. That's why there are missionaries that go out throughout the whole world. That's why there's a desire to translate the Bible into the language of all the various tribes and nations of the earth, so that they may know that Word. And through that Word, Christ comes into their lives. And so you and I have heard that Word probably our whole life. Some have heard it not so long ago, but they have embraced that Word and they believe it, and that Word begins to take root in their life. And God is working that Word in us. We are His workmanship. We are the product of His hand. We're the product of His grace. His Spirit takes that Word and applies it to us. So we're not the same. That's how the Lord does it. We are His workmanship. And that's such a wonderful thing. We have been, every child of God receives an anointing from the Holy Spirit. Christ, that name Christ, means the anointed one. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And every follower of Jesus, every believer, shares in that anointing. In Psalm 133, you read how beautiful it is when brothers make it their desire to live together in unity. It is like the oil on Aaron's head, running down his beard, running down his robes. That is what the anointing was. It was the oil. And oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Oil is what burns in the candles that they had in the old tabernacle. That oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Oil is energy. Oil is it pictures the Holy Spirit, and we are anointed with the Holy Spirit of Christ. He anoints us. He changes our heart. He opens blind eyes to see. He opens closed hearts to receive that word. The Lord is at work in the church. The church is like a factory. It's like a factory with God busy making his handiwork. You and I are in the body of Christ, and we are being made into the image of Christ. What a marvelous truth that is. And so the Lord is busy making his people who they should be. It's the Word. In Isaiah 55, the prophet Isaiah says, as rain comes down and snow from heaven and doesn't return without watering the earth to make it bring forth and bud, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is everyone who hears the word of the Lord. It's bringing forth fruit. The Lord will bring it out through the power of the word of God and changing our lives so that we will be like him, sharing his anointing. You know how that happens? You know how that works itself out? Look at another parable Jesus told, the parable of the prodigal son. He was brought up by a very fine father, but he turned his back. He didn't want any more of that. And so he asked his dad for the inheritance that he had coming, and this young man takes off to the big city with his pockets full of money. And he blows his money in what the Bible called riotous living. And he eventually was out without money and without friends and without work. And there was famine in the land. So he hired himself out to a hog farmer. How humiliating was this for a Jewish boy? Hogs were considered unclean. And here he's working in a hog farm, feeding hogs, and he would have loved to have filled his stomach with a slop that the hogs ate, but no one gave that to him. So he finally came to his senses. He came to his senses, and he said to himself, my father has employees on his farm, and they have more than enough to eat, and here I am. I'm dying of hunger. I'll tell you, he's talking to himself. He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to return to my father. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and I've sinned against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. So he remembered, he repented, and he returned to his father. Oh, Rembrandt, the great Dutch artist, has a moving, poignant painting of the prodigal son coming back to his father. There's no smell in that painting. But let me tell you something, that young man reeked of a hog smell. His clothes were tattered and torn. His feet were bare. And here he comes to his father. And his father has been looking out for him every single day. And finally, he sees this young man coming down the road. And he says, you know, that's my son. That's my son. So he runs to meet him. And he throws his arms around that tattered, smelling son of his and said, "My son." And the boy says, "Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son." And the father said, "Oh, you come. We're going to put a new robe on you, sandals on your feet. We're going to have a feast because this, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found." And they made a great feast. That's how God makes his people. That's how he changes our lives. Through repentance. Through faith. Remembering. Repenting. Returning. And then receiving his blessing. The father was looking out for him every day, and finally there came that boy. That's what the Lord is doing. He's doing to you, doing to me. He welcomes us. He says, "Come." Jesus said, "Come, one and all, hear the word of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's no difference between the wise, the learned, or the unlearned. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter your ethnic origin. It doesn't matter what language you were brought up with or what culture. Doesn't matter at all. You're human. And you're human because God made you, and now he calls you to himself. "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He anoints us with the oil of the Spirit. He makes us new people. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. There are good works involved. We are not saved by good works. As the previous verses said, we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There are works that are involved, but our works are to be the fruit and evidence of Christ living in us. Like Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him will bring forth much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Our good works are the result of the work of Christ in us. Now, what kind of good works are they? He created us in Christ unto good works that he afore prepared that we should walk in them. What are those good works? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism lays that out very neatly. It follows the truth that Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit, ordained by God the Father, to be our chief prophet, our only high priest and our eternal king. Prophet, priest, and king. Jesus was that. And every Christian is anointed by the same Holy Spirit to do the same three things: to confess his name as a prophet, to consecrate ourselves as priest, and to conquer over sin as a king, prophet, priest, and king. Every Christian has those threefold offices: a prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, if you want to draw an arrow, a prophet is an arrow coming from God to us. We hear the word of God. A prophet, the word prophet, as I mentioned some weeks ago, in the original Hebrew language, that word prophet means to boil over. We who receive the office of prophet, and every Christian receives that office of prophet, is called to be a prophet. To confess his name, the name of Christ. We are to be so filled with the Spirit that we just boil over. It just comes bubbling out. I could hear that in the song service this evening. As Steve told us, what that song, those songs meant to him when he had surgery. That just came bubbling out. It was just wonderful to see Steve's face. He was just radiant. I heard an old story of Jesus and His glory, how He came and saved a wretch like me. What a glorious story that is. How great Thou art. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. It just bubbled out of Steve. That's what it is to be in the office of prophet. We are anointed by Christ's Spirit to be a prophet, to speak the truth of God. The Apostle Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope you have. We've got to speak. We've got to tell others. It's an arrow that comes from above to us and then out to others. First of all, our own children. We've got to tell them about the story of Jesus. Let children, Psalm 78, let children hear the mighty acts which God performed of old, which in our younger years we saw and which our fathers told. We tell them to our children that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God but keep His commandments. This is what we have to share with them. We receive it freely and we got to give it. That's what the office of prophet is all about. It's something that we just are so full of. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So the first office is the office of prophet. He makes us prophets. Everyone, men, women, boys and girls, we all have that office of prophet. Anointed by Christ's Spirit that we may tell others about Jesus. The second one is priest. While prophet was an arrow pointing down, priest is an arrow pointing up. The priest was there representing the people to the Lord, to pray for them, to offer sacrifices to Him for them. We have that office of priest too. We have to pray for one another. We have to bring their needs to the Lord. This is very, very important. We have to pray always. In fact, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We have to pray for our country, pray for our church, pray for our leaders, pray for one another. You know how Paul says this? He said this in Romans, and he says this in Ephesians. He says this in nearly all his books, how he remembered them always in his prayers. That's so beautiful. It's so remarkable. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers. Paul must have had a tremendous prayer list as he prayed for all the people in the various churches that he planted. I make calls on the sick and the shut-ins of our church. And one dear lady said to me the other day, she said, in the bulletin there's always the name of Friends of Seventh. Now it's Chandler and Sergeant Reese Casalias. She said, do you know them? I said, no, I don't know them. I don't know them. Every week there's three or two names, and I don't know them. She said, do you know what I do? I said, what do you do? She said, I write them down every week, and I pray for them all the time. I don't know who they are, but somehow someone does, and their names are on the bulletin, and so I pray for them. Now that's a beautiful thing. She is not able to get out and do other things, but she can pray. And she remembers the prayer, the people whose names are on the bulletin, and she prays for them. Another one of the shut-ins said to me, you know, my name isn't on there anymore. So I called Tammy the other day and said, we got to put his name on. So today his name is on. That's our office of priest. We are to pray for one another. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove the things that are excellent, and be void of offense unto the day of Christ. And so that's our duty as a priest, to present our bodies to the Lord. You remember what John Calvin's favorite saying was? Was this, my heart I offer to you, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. That is what our office of priest is to present our hearts to the Lord. As Psalm 139 says, all that I am I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, has fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. That's what it means to be a priest, to give ourselves to the Lord, and to give ourselves to others, and to remember them in prayer. And then the third office is the office of king. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit, ordained by the Father to be our chief prophet, only high priest, and eternal king. But we as Christians, we also have that office of king. That is, we are to rule. Who do we rule? The first thing we rule, the first one we rule is ourselves. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, goodness, and the final one is self-control. That's our office of king, to control our heart, to control our eyes. The little children learn that song, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you walk. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For your Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful what you do and say and see and hear. We've got to discipline ourselves. We just can't see anything that we want to. You know, Paul says here, you have been made alive who once you were dead. And he says you were influenced by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience, and there's all kinds of that. Those are temptations. And we've got to say no. We've got to say no to things that are wrong. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, do not grieve the Spirit by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all wickedness, all bitterness, and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That's our responsibility. That's our office as king. We are to take control of ourselves. Be disciplined in our own thinking and what we do and what we say and what we see. Self-discipline. That's a very important aspect of our being a Christian. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will give you another to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, He'll carry you through. As high school kids, we sang that, I'm sure, once a week. Take time to be holy. That's our responsibility. That's the office of king. We're to fight against the devil. We're to fight against sin. We're to fight against temptation. And we are to fight for the Lord. Another song we sang in high school. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise your standard high for the Lord. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. That's how we have to live as Christians. Fight against sin and fight for the Lord with all your might and with all your heart. And teach your children too. So what is a Christian? One who shares in Christ's anointing. Who has been anointed to be a prophet. To confess His name. To share His good news with others. A priest. To pray for one another. And to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord and King. To fight against sin and the devil and his whole dominion. And hereafter, reign with Him through all eternity. What an awesome name the name Christian is. It is a beautiful name. It's a badge of honor that we're followers of Jesus Christ and we're not ashamed. We heard about Paul this morning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we're not to be ashamed of Jesus. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. What a wonderful truth that is. He came to save us. And He came to make us His followers, His children. Oh, if there's any who don't know Him. The Lord says, come unto Me. Call upon the Lord. You remember how in Jesus' parable, the one man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's all that all it took. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that man went home justified, cleansed as my child. That's what it is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for Your workmanship, that You are busy making followers of Jesus. O Lord, hear us, we pray. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.